World leaders joined 50,000 people today in Srebrenica to remember the victims of massacre. It was 10 years ago today when 8,000 Muslim men and boys were rounded up by Bosnian Serb forces, murdered, and their bodies dumped in mass graves. The Dutch government had sent troops to the region to help protect the Muslim enclave, but Dutch forces were outnumbered and outgunned and found themselves unable to prevent the massacre. In 1995, Rob de Vick was deputy of the Dutch Chief of Defense. He's now a director of the Netherlands Institute of International Relations. Rob de Vick joins us now from his home in the Netherlands, and it's good of you to join us today on Talk of the Nation.
Hello.
As you remember, 10 years ago in Srebrenica, your role as deputy chief of defense, as I recall, you advised against sending Dutch troops there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that most of my colleagues in the general staff were absolutely against sending troops to Srebrenica because we consider that a very dangerous and almost hopeless situation if something would go wrong.
And what situation did the Dutch troops there face 10 years ago today?
Well, the problem was, in the first place, that we were outnumbered. There were only 400 to 500 lightly equipped and almost unarmed Dutch batters. They had to protect some 10,000 Muslims, and they were surrounded by more than 10,000 Serb troops. So it was pretty hopeless. Moreover, the enclave was located in a valley, and the Serbs were around the enclave, and they shot at the enclave from the mountains. So that was pretty hopeless.
Mm-hmm. This was the result of a, in a sense, international paralysis over what to do in the crisis in Bosnia, and the sense that they had to do something.
Yeah, I think so. That's exactly the right expression. They had to do something, and they didn't know what to do. Most countries simply didn't want to go to Srebrenica because they considered it too dangerous. Our Dutch decision was based on moral grounds. We thought that we should do something and that this was a moral obligation. That's typical Dutch, because we always thought that we should make a difference in the world by doing something in the moral field. And that's the reason why we went to Srebrenica, and we didn't really consider the dangers and the military situation there.
Yet, when the military situation did develop, when the worst came, there must have been a feeling again that though it was hopeless, though probably nothing positive could have been accomplished, maybe something should have been done.
Yeah, right, because there was a big discussion on what should be done. And some people argue that we should defend the Muslim population. But, if you have to do that with 400 troops and with very, very limited equipment and arms, then you find yourself outnumbered, and that's militarily a hopeless task.
Yes, but students of history will remember that Dutch forces in the Far East at the beginning of the Second World War faced equally impossible numbers and fought to the last man and to the last ship.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. But what's the point in fighting for the last man if you have only 400 troops in place and you're surrounded by 10,000 Serbs? So there was not really not really much to do. Moreover, the logistics were blocked by the Serbs. So ammunition, spare parts, fuel, nothing was coming into the enclave. So actually, the Dutch batters ran dry.
We're speaking with Rob de Vick, director of the Netherlands Institute of International Relations. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. There was a very comprehensive report published in, I think, 2002 about the Dutch role in Srebrenica. What conclusions did it come to?
Well, it was a relief for Dutch bet, because the conclusion was that that the politicians were to blame for the decision taken 10 years ago. The Dutch betters they were not to blame for that, because they did what they could. They were outnumbered, they were under-equipped, they had no arms, so they found themselves in a hopeless situation. No, what was the case in that lengthy report was that the politicians were to blame, and the result was that the government then in 2002 had to resign because they were to blame for it.
What's happened to the troops who were there 10 years ago today? How did they cope with that situation?
Well, they, quite a few find it very, very difficult to cope with that situation because they felt in those days that they had to do something, but they couldn't do anything because they were outnumbered. So it's really not only a national trauma, but it's also a personal trauma for the troops involved.
How has it affected Dutch government policy since then?
There has been a huge debate on sending troops abroad. I think we learned a lesson. What we now do is we take the military aspects more serious, and we don't only base our calculations on moral obligation. But what we try to do now is we make a good analysis of the situation in place, and we really try to find out whether or not we can make a difference militarily.
Give us some examples. I mean, how has it affected the Dutch decisions in, certainly in the war in Kosovo, which was the next immediate situation?
That's a good example. During the war in Kosovo, we joined the Allied operations, and we bombed targets in both in Kosovo and in Serbia, and I think that the Dutch Air Force did a tremendously good job there, and so we learned our lesson, and one of the decisions we took in those days is that we only would be part of an international coalition to carry out those tasks.
Mm. Thank you very much for being with us. I'm afraid we're running out of time. More questions, but we appreciate your time today.
All right. It's my pleasure.
Rob de Vick is director of the Netherlands Institute of International Relations. 10 years ago, he was the deputy minister of defense. He joined us from his home in the Netherlands. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.